may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have just heard the longest recorded conversation of Jesus with any one person in all the Gospels. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you because you were standing for the whole thing. But it is an amazing passage from John's Gospel. It's amazing that Jesus' longest conversation that is recorded in the Gospels is not with his disciples, it's not with the Jewish leaders, not with his family, or even other Jewish people. Jesus' longest conversation in the Gospels is with an outsider, this woman of Samaria. Now, we really have to set this in context in order to realize how amazing this is. Men and women at that time were not supposed to converse publicly at all unless they were married. In other words, Jesus even talking to a woman in public was highly unusual. Now, we know that Jesus was not one for taking social conventions seriously if they got in the way of God's work. But there's an even more astonishing fact here. Remember the story in Luke's Gospel of the Good Samaritan. In Jesus's, we call it the Good Samaritan, but in Jesus's time, Good Samaritan was an oxymoron. It was inconceivable to Jewish people that a Samaritan could be called good. Jews and Samaritans did not have any contact with one another. They had deep theological differences, which caused each group to regard the other as wrong, and, at least from the Jewish perspective, the Samaritans were considered unclean. So it's no wonder why this woman was astounded that Jesus asked her for a drink of water. The woman from Samaria had had a hard life. Jesus knows all about her life. He tells her that she has had five husbands. We don't know why that was. We can't make the same kind of assumptions that you could make nowadays about that. Because in that culture, it was not possible for a Jewish woman to divorce her husband, but a Jewish man could divorce his wife for any reason. It's unlikely that a Samaritan woman could divorce her husband either. So perhaps some or all of her husbands had died. Perhaps some or all of them had put her out of the house and divorced her because she was unable to bear children. We don't know, but she had had a hard life, probably a sad life. Women at that time were dependent upon men for their very existence. Divorced women and widows had no source of support at all unless a male relative decided to take them into his household. They could not own property. So she may have been living with a male relative and his family at the time that Jesus met her. We don't really know. I imagine this woman of Samaria as a lonely person, beaten down by her hard life. Whatever the reason was for her what had happened in her life. She was coming to the well in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, and there were no other women around. She didn't come at dawn or at dusk when there would have been fellowship and conversation and other people to walk with in that hard work of carrying water. If you've ever seen videos of people carrying water, usually they carry it on their head in a large container. It's really hard work. She was alone. But here, she met Jesus. And Jesus offered her living water. Jesus offered her a relationship with the living God that would fill her very being so that her deep thirst for love, for community, that deep thirst would always be satisfied by God. Cynthia Bourgeau, in her book, The Wisdom Jesus, that some of us read last year sometime, says this about this passage. Jesus Christ, standing before the Samaritan woman, becomes the mirror in which she sees not only the face of God, but her own true face. Jesus Christ, standing before the Samaritan woman, becomes the mirror in which she sees not only the face of God, but her own true face. And she ran back to the city and said, "Come see a man who told me everything I have ever done." Now, John's gospel is full of symbolism. There's layer upon layer of meaning in every passage of this gospel. It always means more than it says. And in John's gospel, it says it was necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. Well, if you look at the map, it was not necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria to where he was going. It was not practical at all. In fact, it was out of the way. So the only sense in which it makes sense that it was necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria was for him to meet this Samaritan woman and for God's word to be spread to the Samaritans. And in this passage, Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah for the first time in the Gospel of John to this Samaritan woman. It's interesting to compare her story with Jesus with last week's gospel about Nicodemus. If you remember, Nicodemus was a powerful, prominent man, a member of the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jerusalem, and he came to Jesus secretly by cover of night. Whereas the Samaritan woman had no power or influence, was probably an outcast even in her own people, and she met Jesus in the clear light of day at noon. Nicodemus did not seem to get Jesus' message, and we do not hear about him going and telling people about Jesus. But the Samaritan woman had an experience of the living God. She believed Jesus, and she became God's witness to her people. She left her water jar, and she went to the city. She was called by God and sent out into the world to proclaim the good news. Christ offers us the same living water. Living water that is a relationship with the living God. that fills our thirsty hearts to overflowing. Augustine had said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord. Our hearts are restless and will not find their rest until they find it in Thee." Each of us has a God-shaped hole in our hearts. We can try, and sometimes we do try, to fill it up with other things. Material things, relationships, knowledge, travel, food, sometimes even alcohol or drugs. But none of that can fill our longing for God. Only the living water can fill us up. Only God can fill the space in our hearts. Only God knows everything we have ever done and loves us more than we can ever imagine.